Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm delighted that everyone is back. I've missed all you people. It seems like a century since I've been here to talk. You see, I have no one to talk to at home. So it's very difficult. I have to store all this stuff up and then it just comes out. But anyway, with that said, I behold you with love. You radiant beings, you. You gods and goddesses. And I'm affirming for the new year that we each and every one of us are able to accept that fact that we are some part of God, that we are gods in the making, that we are causing this whole experience called life, this whole experience called the universe, and we can go so far as to say this whole experience called God. But we are doing that with our thinking. This is a teaching about mind. This is a teaching about thinking correctly. And it's about changing your thoughts so that you're not convinced of what the world tells you about things. Now, if you will look at this paper, I would like to start just with this one. Because it's the new year, and this is so important to realize, stop thinking that this is all there is. Realize that for every ongoing war and religious outrage and environmental devastation, there are 1,000 counterbalancing acts of staggering generosity and humanity and art and beauty happening all over the world right now on a breathtaking scale from flower box to cathedral. Resist the temptation to drown in fatalism, to shake your head and sigh and throw in the karmic towel. Realize that this is the perfect moment to change the energy of the world, to step right up and crank your personal volume, right when it all seems dark and bitter and acrimonious and conflicted and bilious, there's your opening. Remember magic, and finally believe you are part of a groundswell, a resistance, a seemingly small but actual very, very large impending karmic overhaul. A great shift, the beginning of something important and potent and unstoppable. Know this about the world that you live in. Don't buy into all that stuff that's going on out there. And there are tons of these groups all over the world. There are tons of things going on. There are light workers everywhere. This is not a fatalistic world that we live in. You have to bring yourself to the idea that this is a benevolent universe. This universe absolutely loves you. It absolutely wants you to succeed, and it wants you to have the things that you desire in life, the things that are necessary for life. So remember, this is a wonderful, wonderful universe you live in. So let's close our eyes just a moment. And let's go within. And let's go to that center that we call the center. And let's pretend, let's imagine that it's right here in your solar plexus at the very center of your body. And let's see it as a seed. And let's know contained within that seed, let's call it an apple seed. And let's know, contained within that seed, is the apple tree itself. Is the apple tree itself. So now let's take that another step and let's see that seed as God potential. And let's know that each and every one of us contains that seed. And within inside that seed is God potential. We each have that. We came here with that. And now it's time to start seeing that seed shoot down roots and shoot up limbs. It's time for us to realize who we really are. That we are individualized expressions of this thing called God. There is nothing else that we can be because God is all there is. So let that wonderful potential inside of you, let it grow. Start affirming that it's there and that it's growing. Start seeing yourself the way you want to be in this new year. Give up the old year and give up the old self. This is a time of absolute renewal. This is a time when you can become what you have always wanted to become. And you do that by using this God potential, by believing and accepting that you have it, that nothing need be added to you. Everything is within inside of you waiting for your recognition, waiting for you to discover all the talents, all the power, all the abilities that you have within you. And with that, give up any blame. Give up any idea, any excuses that it cannot be done. And realize that you are here on this plane of action to love, to be happy, to be fulfilled, to let go of all those old negative patterns, to break through, in to a new life, into a brand new life. And you do that by seeing it in your mind's eye and by feeling it. See the world the way you want it to be. See yourself the way you want it to be. Know that you are absolutely powerful. But you have a power within you that is greater than anything on the outside of life. A power that knows exactly what to do and how to do it. A power that can bring you what you want. And your job in that is to believe in yourself as a God-centered individual, as an individualized expression of this thing we call God. Know how important you are, how powerful you are, and how magnificent you are. Don't let another year go by and say, I'll get it next year. I'll get it next week. I'll wait 6 weeks till the stars align themselves and everything will be hunky-dory. Don't do that to yourself. Say to yourself right here and right now, I have within me a power. I have within me a potential that I am going to start to use. I am no longer going to be in metaphysics. Metaphysics is going to be in me. Metaphysics is going to be in me. You can come back when you're ready. You need a topic? I can't just stop. The topic is renewal. Would you say this to your friend next door?
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
And thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. What does that mean? We're saying this to the universe. We're saying to this thing that we call God, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful, benevolent universe that we live in. Thank you for my life. Look at this California, how beautiful it is. Would you want to be back east now with all that snow and so forth? No. We live here in absolute paradise, and we must realize that. We must know that. We say, and you've heard this so many times, heaven is within. And it's always going to be within. It's not a geographical location that you can go to whenever you close your eyes or to this plane of action. It is inside of you, and it's inside of your thinking. So in this new year, in this new idea of renewing yourself, you have to be happy and enthusiastic about your life and about life itself and say, rah, 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 isn't this wonderful that I am alive and I am alive right here and right now, that wonderful things are going on all over the world and I am going to become part of all the wonder. And you have to know that you're wondrous at the same time when you're doing those things. But you cannot get up every morning and think, oh, well, it's another day. Here it is, another day of my life. How many more days is this going to be? Oh, yes, well, this was sort of happy, and this was sort of nice. But if that person wouldn't have cut me off, and this thing wouldn't have cost so much, and that wouldn't have happened over here, and this thing... Don't do that to yourselves. Say to yourselves every month, isn't this wonderful that I am alive, that this is the gift. The gift of life itself on this plane of action. This is the gift you're looking for. And I know we're all looking for money and prosperity. We're looking for loving and caring relationships. We're looking for creative self-expression. These things, yes, you want these things. But first, you have to seek the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom of heaven is within you. You have to know that what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter. I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. Now, with the new year and so forth, we're going to change, or I'm going to change the format somewhat of the class. Not that it will get out of control or anything like that, but because of something that somebody said, and I'll tell you who it was Paula. And Paula said before the last class, before the new year, I said something to the effect of, you're in a metaphysical teaching, so you have to use metaphysics all the time. You just don't use metaphysics a little bit and then not use it and go back and forth and waffle back and forth. Well, now I'm using metaphysics, but now I'm using this system, and now I'm using that system, or now I'm going to believe the world for a while. You have to use metaphysics. So I'm changing this, not from prosperity abundance, including money, but I'm going to make it practical metaphysics. Practical metaphysics, so that you can use it in your daily life. Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. With that said, then, you have all these wonderful little things. These are all from esoteric books. They all make absolute sense. And there's something you can read, like, well, I'll just read one. A rainbow only appears when the sun rays, atmospheric processes, and the optical activity and the observer come together in a certain relationship in space and time. In Tantra's understanding, all other objects, no matter how dense they may seem, like rocks, planets, and men, are so interwoven with man's idea of them that it is inseparable. Now, you may have understood that, you may not have understood that. I want you to understand things. I want to make them very simple. That whole thing just says that you have to come to the realization that you're connected to everything and everybody, that everything in your world that's around you, you're interwoven with. There are vibrations they're giving off, you're giving off vibrations, those vibrations are intermingling with each other. You cannot think that you're separated from anything. You must realize that it's a unity, and everything is God. So we use that. So how are we going to make this a practice. With that said, of course, then all that. We can go through all these esoteric things, and you can read all these fabulous little books and so forth, and they help. They help me because they back it up scientifically. But this teaching, to get anywhere in this teaching, you have to come to a feeling realization. You have to feel that what you're hearing and what you're doing and what you're thinking is real, that and it's real for you. So we use this teaching in a completely different way when we use metaphysics, practical metaphysics. We have to be able to bring it into our daily life so that you're always thinking metaphysically. Why is this happening? How did this happen? Why is this going on? Oh, I can see that now. I've caused this. I've done this. I've done this. Whatever the thing is. Now, somebody asked me if I went away for the holidays. I did not go away for the holidays. You know, I have an aunt that's 92 years old, and her daughter's 70. They're fighting. They're fighting. This is not metaphysical. You cannot fight, you say. You have to use metaphysics. If they both knew metaphysics, they'd stop that horse shit. But they don't. And how much longer do you think this woman's going to live at 92? I mean, I think she's pushing the envelope as we speak. So do you want to take that with you, that you were fighting with your daughter? Do you want to? You're going to have to resolve that sometime. Now, you might as well resolve it now. Because when you leave these bodies, you know, death does not improve anyone. Death does not improve you. You'll stay exactly the way you are. We're talking about consciousness here. You have to change your consciousness. You have to change how you feel about yourself, about the world around you, and about a situation. Why are they fighting? For some little, bitty little thing that happened to the daughter years ago, and she thinks her mother's jealous of her. You see. Now, first of all, in metaphysics, we would never feel jealous of anyone or feel that feeling of jealousy. If we did, we would immediately get rid of it. Why? Because we know there is no such thing as competition. And you can only be jealous if you're competing with somebody or if you're comparing yourself to somebody else. You cannot compare yourself to anybody. You are a unique individual. There is only one of you. There will only ever be one of you throughout time. You will remain the personality you are. You will remain that consciousness throughout eternity. You can add to that. You can do anything with that. But you have to learn to think differently. You have to learn to think differently. Let's look at the world situation at the present moment. Why do you think we're in this economic situation that everyone keeps telling you that you're in? It's because of fear. It's a thought atmosphere. If we knew that it was a thought atmosphere and we started to change our thoughts, the whole economy would change. But it doesn't change because the world is saying it's because the oil supplies over here and this happened over there and that caused this and this caused that and this happened here and that. You can go on that. You can go with that. You see, there are many levels. Remember, in my father's house, there are many mansions. There are many levels of consciousness. There are also, in between levels, there's another consciousness. There's things going on. Which consciousness do you want? How do you want to raise yourself, we'll say, up the ladder of consciousness? Do you want to stay on the bottom rung where everything, what you see, you're going to have the jealousies, you're going to have the hate, you're going to have the competition? You're saying? You're going to think that somebody else can take your good from you? That's a very, very low way to think, people. You may think that. Nothing wrong with that, thinking that way. Hundreds of thousands of people think that way. But you don't get very far. You see, in that little bit of meditation, what does I say to you? You must learn to love. You must learn to be happy. You must learn to be filled with yourself. So you have to give up all those little petty things that you earned as a child at your mother's knee. You see, all prejudice is learned at the cradle. Remember, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So we're impressed with what we hear as children and so forth, and we see all that stuff going around us, and we think this is the way humans do, and this is the way it's going to be. This is not a good way of looking at things. It's not a good way if you're in metaphysics. In metaphysics, you have to say, there is no such thing as competition. There's no such thing as jealousy. There's no such thing as hatred. At the present moment, I may be feeling all these things, but I know they're not part of me. I know that I can release them. And I can release them with my thinking by thinking a better thought, a bigger thought about myself. This is the whole idea that the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. You can wipe the dirt off. The dish remains clean. Always. And that's what you have to know about yourself. That seed, that God potential that is inside of you is never touched by anything on the outside of life. Don't get so involved in this life. Now, why do you think this aunt and her daughter are arguing and carrying on at this age? Because they're taking everything personally. You have to give up. You have to give up, and you have to give up the interpretations. Now, I knew both interpretations, and I'll tell you the two things, and you can decide for yourself. Here's the thinking that's going on. The daughter says to me, you know, my mother never wanted us. I said, oh, really? Why? She said, because they sent us off to boarding school. She has a brother, Paul. They sent us off to boarding school. Now, I remember when they went to boarding school, and my brother and I said, oh, God, I wish our family would send us to boarding school. We'd love to get away from these two. It's a perspective. We looked at it differently. Now, she thinks that the family didn't like her because they sent her off to boarding school. The aunt says to me, oh, no, we sent him off to boarding school because I was helping your uncle build the business at that time, and we were working 18 hours a day, and I did not want my kids coming home to an empty house. And I wanted to give him a good education, and also we sent him to boarding school. You see, it's interpretation. It's interpretation. She thought the aunt thinks she did right. The daughter does not. They have to change. That's all we do is change our thinking. We change our perspective of things. And then we see the truth behind that. But as long as we perceive that my mother is jealous of me and all this, you're going to manufacture every opportunity to prove that to yourself. The mind will prove anything that you keep thinking. It has to. If it didn't, you would go crazy. You would go crazy. You see? Because you would think one thought and something else would happen. You know. You have to realize it's your perspective. And you are responsible for that perspective. So if it doesn't look right and you're going through all this and it's causing you angst, the daughter's upset about it all too. She has to sit down and change, and the aunt has to sit down and change whatever's going on inside with your thinking, with their thinking. And the guy, what do? You do not take it personally, and you learn to forgive. You learn to have compassion, you see. You learn to have compassion. See, I'm a great one for this idea that give up anything that your parents did to you, give that up because they'd have done it to anyone. Don't take it personally. They didn't know any better. But don't run the rest of your life at 70 years old still thinking that your mother is jealous of you and your mother did this to you and that to you. Why isn't that resolved by now? Who is that any way to live? And is that a great thought? Is that a good thought? Is that something you want to live with? No. Wouldn't you want to have a wonderful idea in your mind? Create something grand for yourself instead of down here in the mud? Mud wrestling with people? Doesn't make sense. So practical metaphysics is the whole idea that you can be happy. You can be happy. It's up to you, and it's done with your thinking. What did Abraham Lincoln say? Most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. What have you made up your mind to be today? What do you make up your mind to be every morning when you wake up? Do you want to be bigger and better? You know, every day in every way I'm getting better and better. Do you say that to yourself? Do you realize that things are working out for you? Do you remind yourself that God is always going to be the source and the supply? It has nothing to do with your job. It has nothing to do with other things. I'd always go back to God is taking care of me. God is supplying me. And if it doesn't come through this channel, it'll come through another channel. This is how you make metaphysics work for you. This is how you make it a practical teaching. You know, I told you I do a word every day. Scramble. An exercise I do for dyslexia. So I had this word. I couldn't get it. So So finally I sat down at my desk the other morning and I said, okay, mind, I've had enough of this. I know that you know what this word is. Show it to me now. Bounce. Came right in. That was the word. Bounce came right in. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. That is using metaphysics in a practical way. In a practical way. Everyone uses metaphysics to get the car, a spot for their car to park. That's practical. But now take it and use it all the time and make sure that it's always say, oh, I can do this. This is a practical exercise. If you're connected to this power that knows and this knowledge that knows everything, then you have to know it also. It's a holographic universe that we live in. So, you know, everything, and I've said this before, education. To educate means to pull from, not to stuff into. But we think education means pound some knowledge into that head, pound some knowledge into that head. Every bit of knowledge that you need, every answer that you need, every solution that you need is already within you. You must ask for it to come to the forefront of your mind and then use that. That's how you'll use metaphysics practically. So that it becomes a tool that you can use all the time. Not just on Wednesdays or Sundays when you go to the metaphysical churches and all, but constantly, so that you can change your thinking about things. So that you can change your thinking about things. If this teaching, when you look at anything metaphysically, changes your perspective on things. Change your perspective on disease and so forth. Metaphysically, look at it. Why have I allowed this in my life? You will get the answer, and then you change your thinking, and the disease leaves you. Disease is not God-ordained. It's man-ordained, and it's done with your thinking. And here again, oh, I don't think I brought this up. Who cares? If you brought it on yourself, you didn't bring it on yourself. The thing is, get rid of it. You see, so many people, oh, I'm afraid to admit. If I admit that I've done this to myself, then what am I? Well, if you don't admit it, you're an idiot. So, just, it will change. You just have to be honest, and you have to be honest with yourself. What kind of thinking am I thinking? What thought is going on in my mind? What is my dominant thought? What is your dominant thought? That God is always your source and your supply? Or is it something else? You see, you have to have a dominant thinking process going on so that you can always go to that as your base, as your foundation for thinking. That's why we do I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. You have to have that going on inside of your thinking all the time. Otherwise, that goes right down the tubes. I was watching over the holidays a movie called The Librarian. You know, the other marathon or something on it. The Librarian is like a Indiana Jones movie, and he was out looking for something, and he has a protector with him, some woman who does his fighting for him or something. And he said something derogatory about himself. She slapped him across the face, and he was stunned. And she looked at him and she said, "No one says anything derogatory about the Librarian, not even the Librarian." You see? How many times do you say derogatory things about yourself? How many times don't do that? Why? Because you're talking about God. You're talking about God. This thing called God does not make junk. You are not a piece of junk. You are a magnificent human being. You have that seed inside of you, that potential to become anything and do anything you want. You have to start visualizing that. You have to start seeing that. You have to imagine that. See? We're made in the likeness of God. What does that mean? The likeness of God is what God thought when he was creating. That likeness is that. an image. What is the image? That is all your God potential, made in the likeness and the image of God. You have all those qualities, all those divine qualities. You have to start declaring that. You say, otherwise, if we don't, the world is just going to keep plodding along and plodding along and plodding along. And it's time. It's time to imagine something different. So if you want the world to be different, you have to start to imagine things differently. For the last couple of months, well, for years, I thought on and off, but I'm making a concrete, concerted effort now to see cars no longer. There won't be. It's time to give up the combustible engine. Here we are in a technological age where things are just happening so quickly. And they say in this decade, technology will happen 1,000-fold. And it'll go so quickly. Yet we hang on to the combustible engine, which is causing great harm and great danger. And we hang on to it because we say, oh, we can't do anything. We can't do anything about that. If we can put things into space and do all that, we can certainly think of a different thing besides the combustible engine. It has to go out. What are we going to wait till we drain this Mother Earth of every bit of oil that she has and then wonder what happened? No, it's time to start imagining something new, something wonderful. And I love to imagine, and I get this from the electric cars, golf carts and so forth. I love when they go. No noise. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No noise. All that traffic noise would be gone. There'd be no noise. These are the things that you have to imagine. If you want the world to change, you have to start somewhere, and you have to start with a new concept. You're saying, do you remember the Jetsons? Remember, by now we were supposed to have our own little aircrafts and everyone was in the houses, everything. Did that happen? No. Very disappointing. Because we were convinced by the world that it couldn't be done. If the person who imagined that cartoon, imagined that, then it has to be real. It has to come in. It has to come into the world. But we drop the ball. We drop these balls because somebody convinces us that it cannot be done. And we have to know that it can be done. And that we can do it. And we do it with the changing of our mind. With the renewal of our thinking. With the renewal of our thinking. So start using your imagination in this new year. Start seeing yourself the way you want to be. The light beings and so forth. You have to start seeing them. And they have to start seeing themselves as very powerful. And come here, not just talk about it, you see. That whole idea when I said, let metaphysics be in you and you not in metaphysics. You see, you can read a book and you can always be looking at a movie. You can always be doing all this. But you're on the outside looking in. You're on the outside looking in. You have to be on the inside looking out. You see. You have to be there. All those things. If we use our consciousness to build the reality of this universe, to build the reality of this planet Earth that we live in, it's a consensus. It's a consensus reality. We can change that consensus reality. You see. But we have to start, and it starts in little groups like this. It starts with one person. One person, the consciousness, is absolutely the most powerful thing that you ever wanted. Who knew that in our lifetime? Gandhi. He defeated an empire with his mind. He defeated an empire with his mind. He said to the English, "This is our home. You've been here long enough. Now leave." And they left. Took him a little bit. But it was his consciousness. He changed consciousness. He made a shift in that consciousness. And the world changed because of it. Anything new that comes into this world is done with a shift in consciousness. Somebody gets an idea. They use their imagination. And something new happens. But we get so stuck in this idea that this is the way it has been and this is the way it always will be, you see, that we start to believe that. But back a moment to the technology and so forth. You see, the other thing that I see very clearly in my mind's eye, there won't be offices anymore and office buildings. I don't know what they're going to do with them. But with the internet and all this the thing, you can work from home, you can work from anywhere in the world. You don't have to go into an office to get anything done anymore. You don't have to build schoolhouses anymore. It can all be done on the computer. College now, degrees are now given over the computer. Everything is going to change. The world is going to change. And do not we not want that? Don't we want to make this paradise again? We were taught that we had to work 40 hours a week or more. Now, I worked in many jobs where I could get the job done in about 30 minutes each day. But my boss would say to me, I just said to him, "Can I go home? I have all my work done." He'd say, "No, you have to sit there." I said, "What am I going to do?" He said, "Look busy. Look busy for the rest of the time all day." We don't want to look busy. We want to be out creating. We want to be out smelling the air and seeing the flowers and walking and doing all those wonderful things. Do you want to spend all your life working in an office, all your life doing something? I mean, who made this silliness up? You know, who made it up? Somebody. The Industrial Revolution. We're out of the Industrial Revolution. So let's start seeing a new world and a new world order of things. Let's start seeing everyone on every continent on this planet learning to love each other, learning to understand each other, learning to see those things. That is what it's about. That's what it's about. But it starts inside of us. And it starts with the idea that we can do this because we have the power to do this. We have the God potential to do this. And we have to start using that God potential. Why else come here, go anywhere else and learn all this stuff if you cannot use it in a practical manner? Not only to solve parking spaces, but to solve conflicts within the family. The other thing I spent most of my time doing over the holidays was helping somebody resolve a breakup. How could this have happened to them? I feel very bad, the woman said. How could this have happened to me? I said, "Well, I can tell exactly how it happened to you. Sit down." I said, "First of all, you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and you're a caregiver, and you've done this how many times now? At least this is the fourth or fifth time." I said, "You keep changing boyfriends and so forth, but you pick up the same character. You pick up the same character because what's inside of you is going to draw to you the exact thing. You must change yourself first." "Well, how could he have done it?" I said, "Did you really want him?" I said, "Not like. Weren't there any red flags?" "No." First session. Second session. "Were there any red flags?" "Well, there was this and this and this." Third session. "Well, were there any red flags?" "Oh, yeah, that. Now I should have noticed that. I should have seen this. I should have said that. But I'll never be able to forgive him." Right at Christmas, the day before Christmas, I think it was Christmas Eve, walks out and says, "It's over." Never even got me a Christmas gift. I said, "He gave you the most wonderful Christmas gift of all. He left you." I said, "And therein lies the thing. This is what you have to concentrate on. He gave you a gift. Now," I said, "you must change if you don't want this to happen to you ever again. If you're tired of picking up the same person all the time with a different face, now's the time for you to change your inner thinking. What you think about yourself, and you will not draw those people to you again. This is how you use metaphysics in a practical way. you don't come to this teaching and you don't go to churches and so forth, and then have all these nits and fleas of life, which I call them, or spend the rest of your life after you come to all these things, seeing a psychiatrist and have talk therapy, and we're going to talk this over. Well, you can talk it over till you're blue in the face, you see. Now, the other thing the young woman wanted to know is why it happened to her. I said, I have no idea why it happened to you except for those four items. But I said, you don't know. You never need to know the whys. Metaphysics never teaches the whys of life. It teaches the hows of life. How can I correct this? How can I make sure that this doesn't happen to me again? How can I change my mind about this whole situation so that I can live with peace of mind? How many times have I said that? This is what we all want, is peace of mind. We want to know that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. We want to know that this thing that we call God actually loves us. You see? You have to start and sit down. You see, you must make God personal. You must make this teaching personal. Any way that you can figure out how to do that. And it starts with your feelings. How do you feel about God? Have you made God your friend? And here again, my idea of God and your idea of God can be completely different. It does not matter. It does not matter. But you have to come to a point where God is a given. That you're not worshiping God. You're not placating God. You're not asking God this, that, and the other thing. You have to know that you know that you know. You're using the mind of God, for goodness sakes. There's no other mind to use. You have to know that. And you have to say, ha ha, okay, I know that answer. I can do this. How many times do I tell actors, I may have told you, before you go on the stage and before you do any of that thing, when you pick up your book and you're learning your lines, why don't you ask Barrymore and all the rest of the greats to help you? The knowledge that they had is still there. It didn't go. And the knowledge never goes anywhere, people. It stays in mind. And you can access mind. How do you do that? By using your imagination. By using your imagination. Once you realize that nothing can be withheld from you, there's no knowledge that can be withheld from you. If you want to know something, it's there. That's why I'm so intrigued with this internet and this Google, you know. You can find anything that you want. Ask it something, it'll do it. So why don't you goggle things, you know, God. You know, use God. Learn to put these things together, the two and two. If you think, we call it the web, right? A web. A hologram is a web. The universe is a hologram. This thing called God is a hologram. All the knowledge is there and you're one with that. We have a wonderful saying in metaphysics. What's known in one place in mind must be known in all places in mind. If I know something, you have to know it also. It's not just for me, you see. I'm not special. I'd like to think I am, but I gave that up, you see. I know I'm not special, but I am special. You see the difference? I know I'm not special, but I am special. I'm a very special person. Why? Because I'm a unique individual expression of God. A unique individual expression of God. And I have a wonderful personality. And you hear God speaking through my personality. God speaks differently through Casey, through Casey's personality. But God uses my personality. God can only speak through me and through my personality. You see? Do you understand? So be proud of yourself. See and understand how magnificent you are. And you are magnificent human beings, capable of having and doing what you want. So give up that idea that the world has taught you that only so many people can be have this, and only so many people can do that, and there's only so much money in the world, and whatever else, the lies that you are living under. In the meditation, I said break through. Break through all that garbage that you have piled on top of yourself. see yourself just zooming up through all that and leave all that stuff behind and see yourself up here on a different realm. See yourself that way. There's no other way that you can be. There's no other way that you can be. You are one with this whole thing. You are one with this thing called God. Know that and use that. Use everything that comes into your life in a metaphysical way, in a practical way, to get what you want in life and to make your life easy. Life is not meant to be hard. Who made that up? Some lie, once again. Now, I know it says in the Bible, by the sweat of your brow. The sweat of your brow, means to think. Sweat of the brow. Thinking. It does not mean picking up a shovel and perspiring, you know, and this is going to get you somewhere. By the thinking process. So let's boil this down to, you can think any thought you want. You can think that your shoes are magical if you want. No one's going to take that away from you. If it works for you, then use it. Use it. I know that there are many answers, many truths out there. There are many things out there that work. But pick the one that works best for you. And then add on to that. Don't think, oh, well, Dallas has the answer, and his Holmes has the answer. No one has the answer. We only see part of anything. We only see part of anything. So know that when you think you know it all, so you only know a part of it. And that boils down to the story of the blind man and the elephant, remember? One thought touched its trunk and thought it was a snake. One touched its leg and thought it was a tree. You only know in part. And regardless of how long you're going to live and how many times you may come back around here, you're never going to know it all. Never going to know it all. But you can know enough to make your life happy and to give up all those other little things that bug you all the time. I don't have the money for the rent. I don't have this. My career is not going this way. This is not going that way. The whole idea is to take a great big deep breath. Relax. Relax. Into those everlasting arms of God. To relax and know that you're being taken care of. Don't let your mind project this way and that way. Keep it right here in front of you. Keep it right here in front of you. I was telling Monk earlier, we're only ever promised our daily bread. Only ever promised our daily bread. If you have your daily bread, if you're perfect this moment, carry that to the next moment. But you don't know what the next moment is going to be. But we dread, oh, I'll run out of money, I'll run out of this, I'll run out of that, da, 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 da. And then you do that. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Bring it back. I have everything I need in this present moment. I'm happy, I'm content, I'm fulfilled. I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter right here and right now. You see? You can only think one thought at a time, people. There's no way, and no, there's no one on this planet that can think two thoughts at once. So you have to pick the thought that you want to think, and you have to stay with that thought. But we go here, there, and everywhere. And then we wonder why something doesn't demonstrate in front of us. Control your thinking. Control your thinking. So give yourself in this new year that idea of renewal. That there is a God potential within you that you can use to make your life peaceful and wonderful without all those worries and concerns and stuff. Months and months and months ago, I handed out a thing on prosperity. In the very bottom of that it says, my mind is cleansed to receive all of this. All worries and concerns are gone. See, if you're worried and concerned, your mind is not clear to receive anything. You must make a clear mind. And then the universe, this thing called God, can work through that. Can work through that. And that's the way that the world works. That's the way that your mind works. So don't give up on yourselves. Love yourselves more than anything else. Do that every day. Love yourself. And love everything around you. Have no complaint whatsoever. Give thanks for this wonderful life that you are doing. And you will see a complete difference. Not only in yourself, but in the outer world as well. Because it works from both ends. Outside in and inside out. Works better inside out. Once you change what's going on the inside of your life, the outside of your life changes to match that. That is another one of those wonderful things that we call an immutable law. It's the law of mind. And it works all the time. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.